Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, welcome to the very first Under the Cosh podcast with the Away Day Bible. I'm here with, it's an honour and a privilege, the two seasoned pros, professional footballers, Chris Brown,
how we doing?
John Parkin, the Beast.
How we doing? You said seasoned professional footballers, but I would say more weathered than seasoned.
Would you say we were journeymen?
Yeah, fucking Jesus.
Well, looking at this list, I'd say so, my friend. I'd say so.
It's been some fucking journey. Yeah,
over the board, Barnsley, Hartlepool, York, Macclesfield, Stoke, Preston, Doncaster. I mean, I could go on all day, to be honest.
Probably pretty
Blackburn,
much.
Blackburn, Bury. You've been around Scunthorpe. The block a few times, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. What's tend to happen is that managers have signed us, and then after the first month, 6 weeks, they've thought, what the fuck is this?
It takes that long.
We need to get this out. I made a mistake. Chairman.
Return to sender.
Chairman, I made a mistake. I'm really sorry. Get that out of my football club. Yeah, there's been a few.
Good careers all round. There's a bit of an introduction to the podcast itself. I think the three of us are going to be here every 2 weeks and we've got a different professional coming in. We're going to have a chat, get a bit of an insight into the world of, especially from a fan's perspective, into the world of professional football.
Well, we're past and present, I think, aren't we? We're trying to get a mix of them both, and hopefully it'll give people an idea of how it actually has been a professional footballer and the good and the bad, because I can speak for myself, there's been plenty of bad.
You two played together at what, Preston and Doncaster?
Briefly at Doncaster, yeah.
Preston for a couple of years, wasn't it?
We never really played together.
No, we didn't.
I used to get picked and he pretty much did. But no,
it was on my ass.
No, we played together. We lived together.
Lived together.
We've had some good times. Some good time together.
It was good.
Obviously, you're at York now, Parky. Chris, since
I left Bury last year, I haven't been doing much really.
Have you actively been looking at it?
For a club?
Yeah.
No, I think.
Have you decided?
Yeah, I think I knew.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, some people say it's come 3 years too late, you know, Blackburn fans especially, but I think you just know, you know, I've been crap, basically, and injuries have taken its toll, and I think I'm just looking forward to moving forward now.
Yeah.
But I've getting a bit of a business going.
Right, yeah.
Obviously, there's a bit of a niche. These aftershaves are expensive. You know which ones I mean? The Tom Fords of this world, the Creeds. So
I just see he's been here 5 minutes, he's already offered me a bottle.
This is a plug.
Oh, this is a plug, right? Is this what we're doing?
So, if anybody's interested,
I am smelling
magnificent.
It's knockoff, isn't it?
I'm imagining
you've got a bath full of water and rose petals and all, stuck in a bit of herbs and spices.
It's professional. I'm not
making
put
a bit of cumin in. It's always nice.
A bit of what in?
Cumin.
They use the same fragrances, all the same oils and stuff. I think they just might be missing one or two. So if there's five of these oils.
That's like a full English breakfast with that bacon sausage. You know what I mean?
If there's five,
it's a flawless breakfast, but it's missing the two main ingredients.
So, have you made it back at pub, or are you got a lab going at home?
No, it's all online, isn't it? Just send a few emails and. And it's not going very well, to be honest.
A few complaints.
Yeah.
I think the third degree burns on the...
a few rashes kicking about.
That woman, I think that stump business for a while.
And for once, it's nothing to do with you.
No, that's not my fault.
Your playing days, though, Chris, like, you were excelling when you were at a young age. Am I right in saying you played at the under 19s, under 20s at like 15?
For England, yeah. For Sunderland, yeah. And
so you've thrown England in here.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to get a club now, Bob. You can throw as many.
Get me attributes out there on your CV. But yeah, when I was at Sunderland, played for the 19s, and everything was going really well. And then when I was 17, I went to see a surgeon, and he said, "You finished." He said, "You've done both your cruciates and your medial, ruptured them, and I'd be surprised if you play again." So in a way, I think that made.
Who was that like as a 17-year-old? You know, when you.
It was awful. But the surgeon was, I think that part. It's not his job to make me feel better. So he just kind of, it was like a flippant comment.
Yeah.
You know, you're probably not going to play again.
Setting you up for the worst.
Yeah. Thankfully, Sunderland sent us to a surgeon in America, and I walked into the room, and it was just a massive, in your room when you compare the two surgeons from Bradford to America, this is world-renowned Richard Stedman. You know, I heard a lot about him. I thought he's going to be typical arrogant American ball.
Oh, just for us American viewers, they're not all.
Not everyone's
arrogant. They're not all Americans
you
arrogant.
You know what I mean?
But he was big as well. They're not all big.
But he was completely opposite. You know, he looked us in the eye, shook my hand, and said, "I'll get you back in 9 months." And he did. Yeah. And I think from then, I just had that. I knew what could have happened, basically.
And you went on loan. Was it straight away after you come back?
The first season after,
the club sent you out to, like...
Yeah, Mick McCarthy sent us to Donny. As soon as I went there, I just, again, like, first-team football. I just appreciated what it meant to the fans. And
was that a big step from Premier League club to Doncaster, first time?
What league were they in then?
League Two. They'd just been promoted from the conference. And I remember I signed on the Thursday night, trained Friday morning. And I pulled at the training ground. And a couple of lads were injured. You know, like...
What did you pull in?
Golf, TDI.
Oh,
fucking
hell, you're doing all right, weren't you? Nice, yeah. What, 18?
Yeah. 18, yeah. It was nice. But anyway...
3 credits of aftershave in the room, right? You're doing all right, then.
And a couple of lads, pulled at the car park, got out, got my wash bag and all that. There was a couple of lads having a fag just behind the training ground. I thought, what the fuck? There was like a sign.
That must have been a moment, like coming from Sunderland and then two lads are having a fag out.
It was, but the more I did it, I loved it. You know, the lads, there used to be a car school from Liverpool.
Yeah.
It was John Doolan and Dave Morley. And they were just
Dave Morley.
Centre
half Dave Morley. I've got a story about Dave Morley. It
was just a massive wake up call, but I loved it. You know, it was just an insight into professional football. Yeah. And they look after us. They give us a bollock when I needed it. Made us into a man, basically.
What was Craig Bellamy like? Were
he were actually all right with me, but only after like. First couple of training sessions. See, I remember when I went Cardiff, I were injured. So I didn't train for the first week. So I was sat next to him in the dressing room. So he must have been looking at me thinking, what the fuck is that?
No.
He must have been thinking, we tend to get promotion. We've just fucking signed that. So I get to training and I'm on his team. We're doing some sort of shape, and someone played the ball into him, and he played it around the corner, and I laid it off to the midfielder. I thought I'd done all right. I'd get it to one of my teammates, you know what I mean? He starts shouting at us, "Fucking give me the ball back!" I says, "Whoa, whoa, whoa!" I says, "Hold on a minute here." I says, "Help, mate. We just need to get one thing straight here." I says, you're not playing with fucking Carlos Tevez now, mate. I says, he costs £30 million, mate. I cost £100,000. You have to lower your standards a bit here, pal. And ever since that, it was good as goal with us.
Reality, yeah.
Ever since that, it was good as goal with us.
Did he have a chuckle?
Oh, yeah, he was like, just started shaking his head. But yeah, that was my second day training, I think.
Towards the end of his career, then?
Yeah, it was strange, actually, because he used to fly this guy in from Holland, like a medic type guy. When he were at Cardiff, he was still on like £90,000 a week from Man City, because he were on loan. So this guy used to come in, he used to look at the month schedule, games, and obviously Championship, you've got games Saturday, Tuesdays. So he used to write the month down and just train, not play, not train. So this guy used to literally plan his month out, and Dave Jones just have to deal with that.
Was it that Raymond?
Raymond, yeah.
The height.
Oh, Raymond.
Raymond. Everybody knows Raymond. Raymond.
Yeah, that was a guy. That was a guy. So he used to come in and he'd just...
Like a nutritionist?
No, he was like a... Because he'd got bad knees. So he'd have like a rehab.
No wonder you know that.
he'd have a rehab. Like, he'd just go rehab, off, train, play. So he'd set his month out for him. So they'd be like... What they'd do is, if we got a game Saturday, Tuesday, the manager would work out which he thought he needed him most for playing somebody who were top of league, bottom of league, or whatever. So it was a bit, I've never seen all that before, but he was. So whenever he said he was training, he trained. Whenever he said he weren't, he didn't.
Well, you play with Dion Dublin.
Yeah, as a bloke, one of the hardest working lads I've always in the gym. Like a pint, you know. Yeah. A sociable pint during the week.
Got the Zubo every
now and again. The Jube. The Jube. It was just started, actually.
What's a Jube?
He's got an instrument out, hasn't he?
He's got what?
An instrument.
He invented an instrument.
No, he didn't. Dion Dublin.
Yeah.
He invented an instrument.
He invented his own.
It's called the what?
He's
the Jube.
He's got a fucking instrument as well.
The Jube. Did you? It can't be going that well, because he's fucking walking around two bedroom terrace houses now, isn't he? At 10:30 in the morning. Yeah, there's a bit of damp there.
Hey, it's been cancelled, so you know he's digging Jube back in. Would you play with Huckabee as well?
Huckabee. One of the best I've played with.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I think he was 30 plus as well, but in terms of like self belief. Before a game, he'd go around everybody and go, basically give the ball to me. He said, I'll murder this.
Full give of the confidence.
Ball. Yeah, give the ball to me and I'll win us a game.
Were there any players like that, though? Full of fucking confidence.
Shit. As someone who I play who's overconfident, but he were decent and he were a really good player. He got England cap. Jay Bullfroyd.
Yeah.
What a... Wowzers. You'd think he'd won the Champions League four times. Like, the way that... what he thought about himself and the way that he... walked around the training ground, he carried his salt. Yeah, what a ball bag. Oh my God. But he were decent. But
with that relationship, is that, do you have a bit of a, do you not get, didn't get on?
I just blank him. I used to blank him. If I was sat having dinner and he came and sat on my table, I'd stand up and I'd go to a different table.
That bad?
Yeah, I just couldn't stomach him.
Just because he was annoyed, or did he do something to you?
Oh, no, just, I don't like arseholes.
Yeah.
And he was
like prison warfare.
He went in my gang. Yeah. But he would just...
Get up and give him tray off.
His attitude and what he thought of himself, I just couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
Just too much. I was like, no, you're not for me. But as I said, as a player, really a good player, and he got everything. His attitude probably stopped him being better than what he were.
Yeah.
The strangest atmosphere I've seen was when Saunders brought loads of... It was a bit of a strange setup because Willie Mackay was kind of affiliated with the club. And there was like an agreement that they'd bring players in, high profile players, who would come at the end of the contract so they can then sell them on. So like within a month we had Joof, Eladj Joof, Chimbonda, Piquion, Alunga from West Ham, a couple of young lads from Blackburn and that. And honestly, there was nearly fight in the change room after every game.
Yeah.
It was
Jufi in the middle of it all.
Him and Habib Bey. I remember after a game, this is when I knew it just got out of hand. We got beat at home, and Jufi's piping up, and Saunders hasn't said a word. Like, just let him get on with it. And then Johnny Oster's kind of said something like, "I know what, lads, we need to." And Saunders just looked at him and went, "Have you won anything?" To John Oster. He went, "A couple of caps, that's about it," or whatever. "Well, I tell you what, if you haven't won anything, you haven't got an opinion." he's played in World Cups, but like, point to Jufi, turn into a loving. He's played in World Cups.
Like he needed massage, you know.
I know, it was unbelievable. But and then, I think, it might have even been that following Monday. The gaffers called a meeting. And, you know, everyone gets in and they replay the game, like show highlights of what went wrong or whatever. So get in for 9:15, meeting gets called for 11 o'clock, 11:15. So the lads are having breakfast and then start pulling up chairs. Saunders is at the front with his pool cue, just like pointing at certain things. Gets halfway through it and he's, I think the ball had been played out with the fullback and Jufi hadn't bothered his arse to go and close down. And I say, "Jufi, this is what I need from you. I need you to almost bend your run to like give him a bit of a like a team talk, even though he shouldn't need it. Do you know what I mean, Jufi?" Everything was just quiet. He wasn't even in. He went, "What fucking chance have I got? Let's go and train." He wasn't in the meeting. No, he didn't turn up. And we're waiting outside. Everyone's freezing cold. Jufi comes around the corner with his cap on, just like
not there.
But he was like, didn't really see eye to eye with Saunders, but he was one of the funniest people I've ever met. Like, his stories, and I remember the day that you signed.
No, the week I signed on the Wednesday. I've got plenty of managers sat right, but I've never got any sacked this quick. I sat on the Wednesday, and Sean O'Driscoll got sacked on the Thursday. I'd not even trained. I'd not even trained with him, and he got bottom. Right. So I signed on the Wednesday, and he must have come in the start of the next week. And we gets to Friday. I don't know if it was young v old.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
At the game at the end, it's right. There's prizes. It's for the best player and the best goal. So I'm like, right, okay. The training were crap, wasn't it? 1-0, and I'd scored.
Yeah,
right.
15 aside.
Yeah. So it was 1-0. So I'm thinking, I must have won best goal because there's only been one. So get coming after, that's a bit like a ceremony, didn't it?
Yeah.
He says, right, I've got some golf clubs for best goal. So Parky would like to come up, golf clubs. And in fact, you might as well take this telly as well, because if you've scored a goal, you're obviously going to be the best player, aren't you? So I walked out with some golf clubs and the telly, right? And then he went, "Next week, be better next week," right? So we're like, right, okay. So we've come up from training. Can I remember it was Malcolm walked it round, I think.
No, Mickey Walker.
Oh, really?
He's about 4 foot, yeah. 11, this assistant manager.
That's 70, is he?
Yeah.
70. He's walked round with a fucking racehorse.
He was sat on it. He had the silks on and everything. He had the full silks on. He was just
whipping to everything.
He's walked round on a racehorse.
He had shares in the racehorse, like.
So he went, right, whoever's best player this week gets this.
What's shares in it?
Well, he just went,
horse.
I think he sold it, that it was, he owned it. He had 2% share in it.
So we come out from training, and there's a racehorse there, and fucking old Mickey's sat on it, like, left to pick it, weren't he? Nobody ever, I don't know if anyone ever got it.
No, he did, he gave it to his assistant, because his assistant used to join in, and he'd give it to Brian Carey.
Oh, I think
we lumped on it in a few weeks and it was terrible. Shite.
Yeah, but
he used to do match reports, so like them young V-olds that he was talking about, he'd get the analyst to just like hand him a sheet of paper. So say we travel away on the bus, we just hear a tap on the mic and then everyone would like just burst out laughing because they knew what was coming. He says, "Right, I've got the match report. It's not my words, it's from Steve Hossack," who was like Donny Press or something. Yeah. "Chris Brown, 3 out of 10.
Okay, they must have had a good training session.
James Coppinger, lost 4. Tommy Spur, headless chicken, 3. Saunders, 9. On a different planet. The lads be on the deck.
To be fair, he was a big fan of his own work, wasn't he? But he was quite funny with it.
It was just the accent, Welsh accent.
You'd have had Rod Keane at Sunderland. Is he not? Was he intense?
Yeah,
that's from an outside perspective.
It can be. He can be cutting with what he says, but he's not as intense as what people think. You know, at the right time, like, you know, when it came to, you know, he'd let his assistant take training, and he'd just sit on a ball, like we had these windbreaker things, sit on the hill basically, sit on a ball watching, and if it was crap, you'd just see him out the corner of the eye walking down, and you'd think,
shit,
lads, just run about a bit or whatever.
at least let's try.
Yeah, and he'd get everyone together and say, that's shy. You know, you just had massively high standards.
Yeah.
I always got the impression that he couldn't accept that the players weren't as good as him.
Right, yeah.
And I don't know if he understands that now or whatever, but at the time...
Is his expectations too high?
But saying that season, I left in the January, they ended up getting promoted. Mm-hmm. So it obviously worked for him, because he obviously signed these players, Dwight York and Dave Connolly, Graham Kavanagh, who were good championship players.
So it wasn't Roy Keane when you left Sunderland?
No, it was. Keane took over in September, and I was in the team when he first came. I scored his first goal.
Yeah.
Make sure you get that in to the edit.
Roy Keane's first goals.
First goal is in management.
Right, yeah. Who scored that?
Me, yeah.
Yeah.
Derby away. Fucking hell.
you look in shock there.
Jesus.
The last goal you scored for him, though, wasn't it?
First and last. I was in the team. I got on well with him, you know. He was always, he knew me, like Parky was saying before, he knew I wasn't a natural born goal scorer, but I could bring something to the team. And I came up to the January transfer window, and I think early December, I got suspended by the club for a controversy that I was involved in. But the reason I left Sunderland was because I wasn't good enough. Roy Keane wanted to take the club to another level. And I wasn't part of that, which I was comfortable with. You know, he was honest with from the start. Mm-hmm. And the people say, no, you fucked up, you got involved with whatever. But that's not the case.
So you got involved, you...
Yeah, so...
You're involved with a video that...
Yeah,
there
was a video that happened a year before, which, you know, I was a young lad, very embarrassed about it, having to ring my family, friends and whatever, but moving forward, that wasn't the reason I left. It was just a case I wasn't good enough, and he was fine with us, right the way through. In fact, you know, the day that he told us it happened, he pulled us in the office and he said, "There's going to be a story coming out tomorrow." And because obviously it was because it was a year ago, we didn't know what he was on about.
How old are you at this time?
I was 18, nearly 19. When the video took place, I was 18. But then a year later, I was 19, whatever. And he had me back throughout. He pulled us in on the Tuesday, and said that it was going to come out, a big article or whatever, in the Sun. Somebody sold the story. It got to the Friday, and I was in the team for the game on the Saturday. He could have hung us out to dry, let's be honest. And you'd think, from an outside looking in, that's what he'd probably do, but he didn't. He did the opposite. And I was, because at Sunderland we used to have to stay in the Ramside Hotel before home games. And I was just about to set off, and he rang us up. He said, "Brownie, it's the gaffer. Listen, you were meant to be in the team tomorrow. But the board have stepped in and said that, you know, they want to suspend you, they brought the club into disrepute, blah, blah, blah," which I'm not happy about. He said, I'll do everything I can to get this over with quickly. He said, don't worry. He said, I know the situation. I know, I've got your back. Completely fine. So anyway, 2 weeks.
So you know when that happened, did you get a newfound respect for him?
Yeah.
From Roy Keane, the player, who's done, won everything. And the perception of Roy Keane as being this disciplinarian, stone-faced...
No nonsense.
Right, this is how it is.
Yeah.
If you step out of this, you're fucked.
You're fucked, yeah.
The thing was that everybody was kicking us. The media wanted us sacked. The fans were on me back. And the one person that I was bothered about was fighting me corner, and that was the manager. You know, I was getting dogs abused. People wanted us out the club, saying it was a disgrace, this and that. But the first day that I came back in, I'm walking down the corridor, and he's typically the first person I saw, Roy Keane, walking down. And he just looked us in the eye and says...
Were you shitting yourself when you see him walking down the corridor and you're not knowing what you're going to get?
I was... But by this point, so I knew that he's the one person. I, in a way, I was kind of looking forward to speaking to him,
right?
Because I'd had that much shit from the local press, this and that, and he just walked past us. He had that little smirk on his face, as if to say, you know, you fucked up, but are you all right?
Yeah.
He says he shook my hand, looked us in the eye, and he went, everything all right? I says yeah, sound, and that was it. Okay, I played the next couple of games. A substitute.
How were the fans with you?
I remember the first game back, I think we played Palace at home, and I was on the bench, and I've gone for a warm-up, and the usual songs and...
But I don't. The thing is, you've not actually done anything wrong as such, if you know what I mean.
No. Morally, some people
morally,
might say.
Morally, maybe not, but you've not broken any rules, you've not done anything to affect your team, the club.
No.
It's just one of them...
I was just... It's more embarrassment. It's humiliating, ringing your family.
Oh, yeah, you know, I understand that.
And people see it as you've got this opportunity and you've thrown it away. It wasn't that at all. I never took it for granted what I had, but I was 18-year-old and I felt let down by Niall Quinn at the time. Because... Yeah, I get that the club's got this position and the stand for whatever, but I just felt like the hung us out to dry a little bit. And there was only two of us at the club at the time. And another thing is, it affects relationships that I had with the lads who were involved as well. You know, I was really close with them. And
do you feel a bit of standoff?
With one or two of them, yeah. Yeah. There's lads who...
Whatever happened on the video, everything was consensual. So, in a way, you've not actually done anything wrong.
No, there's nothing that's not been going on in bedrooms and hotels all around the world right at this minute. But because you're a footballer, because you're in the public eye, it's deemed that you have to live a whiter than white lifestyle. And is that difficult?
I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't get into football to be a role model.
Yeah.
I got into football because I wanted to play football.
Because you want to play football. Yeah.
Everybody else puts you on a pedestal as being a role model. Yeah. I don't feel responsible for being a role model. If someone saw me and Magaluf on a 3-day trip with my pals, they'd think, what the fuck is that? But I'm just a
normal lad,
25-year-old lad, 30-year-old bloke. I'm just having 3 days where I'm just going to enjoy myself. And I get the old role model, but nobody goes into football wanting to be a role model. We go into football to play football, and be as good as we can at that. Everybody else puts you on that pedestal.
Yeah.
Same as actors, singers. Right. What footballers have done throughout the years compared to how singers have been and what they've done in their lives, it's totally, like, not even anywhere close.
Yeah.
Really.
How do fans see it? You know, to fancy as these are, should be role models and should be live, like you say, whiter than white.
I don't think it is the fans. No. Yeah, you are going to get an element of the fans. The problem is the media and the way that it deems that society should live their lifestyle. And that affects... Yeah, no, there's no shadow of a doubt that certain elements of the fans are going to take elements of what's being projected in the media and chuck that in your face. Of course they're going to do that. But I don't think that the judgment comes from the fans. I think the judgment comes from the media, which is then... filtered through.
Yeah, so fans are obviously reading whatever they're saying.
In a way, fans are obviously going to...
Oh,
yeah,
they're going to
get on it. But they're getting anything with that. But it's not... It's hard to explain because you want to be seen as a footballer. I'm talking shit. I don't want to be seen as a whiter than white footballer. Because I've... Like, when I've been going out in Barnsley now for 17, 18 years, right? So when people see me in Barnsley now, they're not... And throughout my career at any level, from League Two to Championship, I went out when I was in Championship, so they're, like, sort of used to seeing me out. So they know that that's how I live my life. So if I scored on a Saturday and I went out, or if I did score on a Saturday, it's no different to them. But if you saw, I don't know, if you saw Rooney out on a night out, everyone would be just there constantly looking.
Everybody's...
And thinking. But Rooney might only be doing exactly the same that I'm doing, Jaeger bombs, getting twatted.
Yeah.
Right? But because it's Wayne Rooney, that's not allowed. Mm. Why should Wayne Rooney not be allowed to do that? He's a 27, 28-year-old bloke who just so happens plays football.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
To an incredible level. But why does he have to be a role model?
Change your ears.
Why can't he not just be... A fucking raggy lad from Liverpool.
Yeah. Which is where he's come from, which is who he is.
Why can he not be that?
I think a lot of the fans understand and accept him for that. It's what you said before about the media. It's the media that put him on the front page of the paper and say he's in hotels posing for pictures at Fortnum. The fans, are they really that bothered? As long as he's doing the job.
Imagine a minute, you're getting married and you're just fucking doing your first dance and look over your shoulder and where Rooney's at your reception. Obviously, when they went away with England, they got...
Good done for the...
Wayne Rooney... How many people can say Wayne Rooney were at my fucking wedding reception?
Thing is, he cannot win as well. Because
and he got twatted, fair enough.
But if he didn't pose for pictures and he says, off and walk...
And then he's an arsehole.
Yeah. He'd have gotten slaughtered for that.
And he's arrogant
arsehole.
And I'd like to think that a lot of football fans can accept that that's what he's like. He likes a pint, He works his bollocks off, on and off the pitch... You know, family man.
Ish. Maybe not pull that one in. That could be under the cost fucking bus.
Fucking family man.
Under the fucking hammer. Down court.
Where'd you go after Sunderland? Norwich.
Norwich, aye.
Did you ever meet Delia? Was she an ever presence? Did she ever come in with like a tray of buns or out into?
No, I never met her, but she did. She killed us off from a move. So when I'd only been there 6-7 months and the managers changed, so Glenn Roder came in. Peter Grant signed us.
Yeah.
And then Glenn Roder came in. And he didn't fancy us.
I don't particularly fancy her either, to be honest. It's a big nose.
And we played Wolves, and I wasn't involved, and Mick McCarthy was a manager, and I'd spoke to him just before the game in the corridor, and he says, what's happening? I said, I don't think, well, I'm obviously not playing, so I think they'll let us go. So we kind of left the conversation. He went, right, I'll speak to you soon, as if to say, you know.
Hello.
Yeah. And then I got Cape to January, and there was, I'd spoke to my agent at the time, and he said, oh, you know, Mick wants to sign you again for Wolves. But what killed us, I think, I don't know if it was Jez Moxie or somebody from Wolves, was good mates with Delia Smith. And she kind of killed us off by saying, well, he's not going to get in our team, so he's definitely not going to get in here. Because Wolves were up
so
there.
So Delia Smith messed up a move to Wolves for you?
Yeah, basically.
I'd have been on the door, let's be having you. Yeah. Let's be fucking having you.
I'd have been throwing a fucking meringue at her.
So yeah, I've never been a fan
so
of
but she
yet.
Never... Did,
what does she know about football?
She just looked at the team sheets and went, oh, that Brown, he's crap.
Brown's not playing in this.
She knows her players, though, funnily enough. And,
so she were never about the club?
I
always imagine like some fresh buns coming out of you. You'd have been knackered in Norwich.
We never saw
some
her.
Some fresh bread. And I just always imagine this aroma of fresh bread at the training ground as Delia's whipping out another batch.
Never. She kept herself to herself.
What I liked here is, though, that Norwich, you played 18 games, one goal.
No wonder Delia said he was shit. She
knows.
But then you went to Preston, 400 grand. That's a 25 grand prop, 75 grand profit after playing 18 games and only scoring one goal. So
I saw potential.
Who did you know at Preston?
She's a good businesswoman. She's a good businesswoman, Delia. Wolves only offered 200 grand.
Paul Preston's pants down.
did you room together?
We had a couple of incidents.
Yeah.
It was a big sleepwalker.
No, well, at the clubs, nobody would share with us. They just refused because when you sign for a club, obviously one of the club secretaries will come round and say, who do you want to share with this and that? So I had to pull them to one side and go, I'm not sure if it's a good idea. I've got a history of getting up in the middle of the night, blah, blah, blah. I remember being at Charlton away, Preston, and woke up at 3 in the morning. Just thought somebody was in my room. So I sprinted towards the door with my duvet in my hoggers and just started taking off down the corridor. And the only reason...
Why did you take your duvet?
I don't know. I ask myself that every day. The only reason I woke up right was a hen do had been coming in from a night out and they've just come through the door and looked at us and I'm stood there in my Calvin's. So I've just kind of like turned round with the duvet under my arm.
Did it once for an hour in. I'm obviously, I don't know what time it was. So we're lying in his beds and whatever, and then anyway, and he stood up and he's like, "Get out of my fucking room!" And I'm like, "I don't know what to do. Do I wake him up?
I get me duvet and walk out? Or what?
Like
I can
do?
Am I going to need to leave here? You know? And then he just went, just got in bed as if nothing happened. Trying to bite those fingers then when you said the hen party. Remember that time when we were taking that photo in that hotel in Barnsley? We were playing Barnsley away. And I think it was Boxing Day, wasn't it?
It was something like New Year's.
It was somewhere
like
around Christmas. Anyway, there's a wedding on. Anyway, I knew one of the bridesmaids or whatever. So she says, oh, would you be able to take a photo of us? I'm like, yeah, no bother. So they're like, there's 8 or 9 birds lined up, isn't there? Like, bride in middle. You know what I mean? I'm trying to set the scene, you'll swap places. Yeah. So I'm just stood there like that. I've got the camera and Seddy's come behind me. And I don't wear pants, right? Ever. So Seddy's come behind me and he's just gone boom. So I'm sat in this hotel like lobby. There's the wedding party's there, and I'm just stood there like that. Just with one wood hanging out. So I thought, There's no point. There's no point like trying to pull them up and that. I'm taking a few photos.
Oh, you're a beautiful girl.
Yeah, pull them up.
Beautiful.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Have a nice day. Oh, God. Oh my God. But the best one at Preston was when we got Sedgy with the when we changed the number on his phone transfer deadline day. So transfer deadline day. I said you'd been in and out of team, I think. So we've got in his phone. So we've changed my number to his agent, well, Brian O'Neill, I think they call him. So he put him in as Bon. So we changed my number to Bon. Rung it like 7 or 8 times. Message, Sedgy, ring me as quick as possible. So he's going from training. He's coming. He's like that. First thing he does, checks his phone. And like, so he gets up. Looks like I'm off, lads. So he's gone into the car park, obviously phoned up, my phone's ringing. Hiya, Bon, it's Sedge. Says, get your fucking ass back in here. He's coming like red faced. He's in his legs, isn't it? That's it, lad, it looks like I'm off. As he walked out.
Did he get a move?
No.
No.
But as time went on, I got to the point where before a game on a Friday in the hotel, because I'm a bit of one trick pony with my accent, so I'm going to do a Scouse accent.
Go on.
No.
Come on, you say it up now.
So one of the lads has given us Ron Atkinson's number. and we were all thinking of like Scousers who were managers, so we're going through, I can't remember who they were, there was the MK Don's manager at Robinson, and we end up with Les Parry from Tranmere Rovers.
The old physio.
He was a physio, but it just kind of suited the role well.
Well, I'm going to character. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm a method man.
So one of the lads has given us Ron Atkinson's number, and obviously all the lads are like half cringing a little bit, wincing. So, hello, can I speak to Ron, please? Speaking. Les Parry, Tranmere Rovers. Just went dead for like 2 or 3 seconds, and I was just about to press the red button thinking we'd been rumbled. Yeah. Les, how are you?
Hiya, Les, how are you?
So I thought, the lads have hit the deck, like laughing. The lads behind me on the curtains just gone. So anyway, I tried to get him in. Well, I did get him in as a like half director of football, half ambassador for the.
For Tranmere.
For Tranmere Rovers. I'm sure he was halfway up the M6. So I started running out of material. I was wanting to talk about money and stuff. I thought, yeah. Oh, I'm going to shit myself. Just a quick one, Ron. Is your tan real? And I just hung up. But it was every other week, wasn't it?
Peter Taylor was a good one. You got Peter Taylor, obviously, he's getting the old. Hi, Peter. Les Parry, Tranmere Rovers. There, Les. He went, I'm after the hairdresser. Peter Taylor's like, right. They must have had somebody who was semi-pro and they were an hairdresser. And he'd gone full-time. Were you at Bradford?
Bradford, yeah.
He said, I want the hairdresser. He's like, and obviously in his Scouse accent, he's like, right. I'll swap. So you had a look at some player for Tranmere. I'll give you Smith. I'll give you Smith for the hairdresser. He's like, is this really Les Parry? Like, I want the hairdresser. He's like, he went, it's not Les Parry, is it? He went, of course it is.
Big crumble.
Are you going to give me the hairdresser for Smith? He's like,
Paul Les Parry.
When Darren Ferguson came to Preston, we used to train at Carrington when it was snowing, and we walked in one morning and there was the Les Parry.
We've been earning that, sir.
You've so many deals up for him.
I got in the sack. I couldn't look him in the eye. Felt like I knew him.
You felt like Les Parry. Yeah. Invested so much into the character.
Yeah. Were your club Barnes? Barnsley as a lad?
Yeah, I started at Barnsley. I'm a Barnsley fan.
For a player, does that make, you know, like, say when Preston come in, if Barnsley had come in with maybe less money, would that have been an influencing factor? Or no?
Maybe, but I had a chance to go back to Barnsley when I were at Preston.
Ah, right, believe.
Yeah. And I've got everything agreed, I've got everything signed off, and I think Barnsley offered 300 grand and Preston said they wanted 500. So, through no fault of my own, it didn't happen. I ended up going to Cardiff in the January for 100 grand. But yeah, I got it all, and that's probably the biggest regret in my career, not going back. I nearly fucked that up myself, actually. Because I'm in negotiations and that with Barnsley and whatever, and I had a big fallout with my missus, ex-wife at the time. So I thought, fuck it, I'm going out. One Sunday afternoon, I thought, fuck it, I'm going out. So I went out on the Sunday, I went into my local, I checked into an hotel. It was a fucking big barn, it might. So I checked into an hotel in the village. So I'm out all day, I'm out from, I don't know, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock.
You're up.
No, with.
Yeah.
It weren't that big an argument. So I've, as I say, I'm out. So the club, it's only a working men's club. It shuts at 11, half 11. So I thought, I went ready for home. I thought, fuck it. But somewhere throughout the night, I'd lost my shirt. Right, so I just got my pair of jeans on. Right. So the hotel's maybe. I don't know, 400 yards from the club. So I've walked in. Anyway, there's a couple of foreign guys outside the hotel smoking. So I've gone in, I've gone upstairs, got a shirt, went into town. So I've got a phone call the Monday morning from my agent. What the fuck are you doing yesterday? I says, what do you mean yesterday? We're walking into an hotel with no top on. I says, how do you know about that? Apparently they were trying to sign someone else. And there's the guys who were sat outside smoking, they were like two agents. So they phoned Mark Robbins and said, John Parkin walked me last night, 11:30, no fucking shirt on. Right.
Got pressure, put back again.
Walked back down at 11:40, clobber on his way out. So I had to explain it all to him, and he's like, right, I'll just tell this story.
Yeah.
And then, but he ended up still wanting to sign us anyway, but it just didn't happen.
What were Forest Green like? Because, I mean, reading into the ethos of the club and, you know, the owner there. And I mean, did they have the red meat ban in for players?
Only at the club. Only at the club.
Only with it. All right, so you go home and have a kebab.
Yeah, yeah. I never did that much. But, yeah, it was just at the club.
Yeah.
You could, like, we had to, I think we away games we were allowed chicken, I think. But, yeah, it was.
Away games.
Yeah. Go nuts at away games. Have some boiled chicken. But no, the club were brilliant.
Yeah.
The club were absolutely brilliant. The chairman's good as gold. That's just how he is. But yeah, it was strange because when I signed the manager, I knew the manager from Stoke, and he says there's a hostel, you know. And we're like, right. He says, what do you mean there's a hostel? He says the chairman's got a building in Stroud. Four floors, rooms second floor, rooms third floor, top floors like open dining room, kitchen. You can stop in there. So I'm like thinking, fucking, I'm 33. I don't want to be fucking sharing with kids and blah blah blah. And they called it the hostel. I weren't expecting it to be great. So I stopped in the hotel for a week and I was bored stiff. Finished training in the hotel on my own, absolutely bored stiff. I thought I'll go have a look. So I went, had a look, and I was still a bit dubious, and I thought, fuck it, I'll move in for a couple of nights. Never left. Till I left, mate, they were brilliant. Best thing I've ever done. I was 33 Honestly, I was a 33-year-old student. It was fucking absolutely brilliant. I used to get home from training, go into Stroud, get some dinner, home, afternoon kit, up, cook us tea, watch football, whatever we used to do. I used to pay, you said one of the young lads, used to give him 25 quid a month to make cups of tea. So like we'd be on the top floor, he'd be on the bottom floor. Funny, Whitey, you know this cup of tea? Yeah, no bother. So we'd have to walk all the way up his fucking stuff. Whitey's just dead. Come and make us his cup of tea. But, nah, it was brilliant. All right, we had some good lads there as well.
So does the chairman get
I think I read something about the kit man and that.
To be fair, he's one for getting second chances.
That was it.
And met the chairman. He was actually Welsh, the kit man. So he latched onto me straight away, and they were good as gold. So they said, well, lads went, have you heard about him? Like, what? So he's not long been out of prison. Said, why? What? He's on 20 years for murder.
No way.
Swear to God. So I'm like, obviously, I'd start getting on all right, man. Right? But no, to be fair, it's good. I still speak to him now. He's good as gold. But like, you go to that down to the ground, which were rarely through the week unless there's a game. And there'd be just loads of fellas round and about with the yellow eye visors on. I was like, who's these? So they're on day release from prison. They're like coming and clearing the ground up and doing odd jobs around the ground and stuff like that.
Because there is that just that whole ethos around the club that seems to be different than everywhere else.
It is. It's totally different. I mean, even the fans are different. The fans are like, a lot of them are old. Nah, bless them. But they are.
Oh, lovely club. Bless them.
But that's what I like. That's what I like. Like, there's. I don't know, there's 1,800
numbers
fans.
Are down again.
It's been a cold winter. There's 1,800 fans and there's...
bad winter.
There's 74 from Wrexham and they stand up and clap them. Well done. The 74 fan from Wrexham.
It's like a different world.
It is. Honestly, it really is. But as a club, the chairman's brilliant and the money that he's put in and everything that his new stadium and everything, it's... Just need to stay up this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Are they struggling, like?
Yeah, I think there's second bottom.
Because he was a full-on hippie, weren't he? Like, commune.
I think he were all on, in all intentions, a tramp. Seriously. He used to live in a caravan, and he just thought to himself one day, I need to power this caravan. So he thought, I'll do a wind turbine. So he made a turbine for the top of the caravan, powered the caravan and thought, well, I can do this on a bigger scale.
You've got that cult hero kind of following, haven't you? Quite admit it. You have. Yeah, I can see your eyes. You're like, you're being modest.
But I think that comes from the fact that I've always been pretty much well received by. Even at Cardiff, I didn't really play. I think I'd like to think that the fans have still got a bit of a, not affiliation, but I think I'd like to think the fans knew what I were about and knew that every time I played,
I think that's why you get a cult hero status. I mean, you don't have the appearance of your stereotypical athlete, should we say?
It's fucking hell, why is it?
I'm not wrong, am I?
Fucking first show in.
First show in!
Thing is, he's talking sense as well.
I'm not wrong, am I? He don't look, he's no use saying Bolt, is he?
Fucking dietitian.
You still do a job, and that's what gives you the cult hero. That's how I see it, anyway, from the outside.
Well, you're telling us that, like, big, hairy, overweight men can sort of...
Well, no, you don't look like you should, I'll be honest, you don't look like you should be doing a job. But you.
Or maybe a labourer or a wrestler.
But you. As athletes go, I darts.
Yeah. Tell you what, though, they must walk a bit of distance.
I know, yeah.
They must walk farther than we think.
No, but seriously, like, but you've done a job all your career.
I know what you mean.
But there are them certain players that you know, like your Akinfenwas, even your Peter Crouch, and that, you know, don't have the appearance of the most athletic, but yet
technically very good.
And then and those two names there again, cult heroes straight away.
Yeah, it's all about doing a job.
Duncan Ferguson.
Yeah,
I think as well. People think just because you're 6'4" or 6'5" that you're going to be good in the air, dominating. But you're actually better with your feet.
Yeah, I'm crap at him.
Yeah, I was the same.
Yeah.
I'm tapping my feet.
Your head was still better than your feet.
But do you know what I mean? He's got this perception that he's
you know, aggressive, this and that, but I bet you'd rather have the ball at your feet.
Yeah, 100%.
Or dropped in from a defender, dropping the ball in.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to think the fans knew what I were about and knew that every time I played,
I think that's why you get a cult hero status, because they understand that. It's just because you stand out in a crowd that you get that cult status rather than just you, any other striker that's been through the club over X amount of years.
Yeah, probably maybe my size helps, but as I said, I think basically it all comes down to the fact that if I've got a cult status, it must mean that I've done something right at the football club. There's football clubs that have scored more goals for than others, but at the end of the day, as a football fan, I'm tipping that if you've got someone who's busting their balls every Saturday, you'd take that over someone who's probably technically or a better player but don't bust his balls every Saturday. I think that's probably the top and bottom of it really with that. To be fair, the static kind of vans at the moment are mobile, isn't it? Let's be right about it. But yeah, for some reason I could finish.
And you still do York City now at the minute?
So yeah,
how
still
many goals?
I have 25 this year. Because the fans at York are brilliant. I mean we get 3,000 and even away games, the following at away games is brilliant. And they've not, to be fair, they've not had a lot to shout about for, well, 2.5 years now. Even this season, we should be doing better than what we're doing, but they still turn out the numbers every week. And you appreciate the fact that football's expensive and travelling to away games, it's a big commitment. So you want to just do the best you can for them. And I feel that last year we should have stayed up last year. So I feel as not I didn't owe it to him, because when I went in, I scored 16 goals in 25 games. So I could have said, right, I've done my job in a selfish sort of way. But I still wanted to try and help the club get back up. Yeah. I think I'll probably retire here now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll probably retire.
The City. You're not ghost tours?
No. I've not been on ghost tours, to be honest. But I mean, it's I don't really get out and about in the City too much. As I say, I live an hour away, so I go home. But it's not a massive football city as such. Because of our cosmopolitan, the tourists and everything, it's not a massive football city. But the fans who come are York City.
Yeah.
That is their life.
I mean, what happened at Cardiff
with Malky?
Yeah. Because we had a look through. There was a quote there that he was deeply unimpressed with you.
He just came in and just absolutely hated us.
Yeah.
From minute one, I think. Obviously, Dave Jones has signed us, and then he came in the summer. And he was very, he was like an army sergeant, very regimental. You had to, this is like, you need to be this, and I was like, I weren't that, and that.
Yeah.
Probably, I've never really been able to keep your mouth shut. And if I think there's something that's not right, I'll set. So we done pre-season and everything went all right. Gets to the first game away at West Ham, and. I went on the bench, sorry, and then he fetched a kid in who had just signed on, fetched a kid on, and obviously I'm thinking, well, like, if it fetches us someone, I could be playing here. So, gets to the Tuesday, we beat West Ham 1-0 away, gets to the Tuesday night, and we've got a game, and I wasn't even in the squad. So, well, I tweeted, got him off for the game, tweeted, does anybody need a gardener? Because I'm looking for work. Right? So, obviously, like, got quite a few replies and blah, 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 blah. And
then, a few jobs out of it. Yeah. You got Strummer out of it, back at Cardiff.
I knew that Strummer coming back. Yeah. So, like, by Thursday, Friday, we're in the paper then. It ended up making the Sun, I think, this tweet.
Yeah.
And he pulled me in and he just threw the paper down and he said, what the fuck is that? And I was just like, well, it is what it is. And then from then, that were just it. It just hated us.
Cards marked.
Yeah. Just hated us. It got to the point where I was training with the kids. Like, I went out on loan. Donny, Bushfield.
Just wanted to get out.
Just wanted to get out. And I mean, we were affected his own staffing, and I was talking to in the warm up. You know, you all stand round and have a stretch, and that the fitness coach stands in the middle. So me and Kenny Miller are talking like that. The fucking snakes. All his staff are fucking snakes. A lot of them. Right. So I went on loan, came back from Donny. Kenny pulls us. He says, "You never guess what happened when you left." Malky Mackay pulled us in. He went, "What's this about you and Parker saying that all my staff are snakes?" He went, "Well, obviously they fucking aren't they? Because your fitness coach has just told you what we're talking about in warm-up." Well, they obviously are fucking snakes, aren't they? Like, but yeah, he just hated us. But he got to the point where the way he was treating us, like making us train with kids and like getting us in at daft times. And I mean, I played in the first... In the first two rounds of the Carling Cup, we ended up getting to the final. And I was on loan at Scunny, and I never even got invited to it. I just had to make my own way down and sit with my pals.
Can help.
The club never invited me to it. I never never got a medal.
Yeah.
We ended up finishing runners up, like, but never got a medal, and he just hated us.
That's it, we're out of time. So you enjoyed it, gentlemen?
Very much so.
Yeah.
This is.
Have you?
Yeah,
it's been alright.
Has it been
insightful?
Good word. Mm. That was the word I was looking for.
Was it? Yeah. No, it's been interesting. Instagram, Twitter, get us the reviews on iTunes because we'll get us up the charts already. And we'll be back next time with Andy Griffin.
Andy Griffin, what a guy! What a guy! We've got. He's one of a kind, Andy. But to be fair, he had some career, and he's worked with some managers and played with some players.
See, I forget that he has. When you speak to him, he's had an unbelievable career, and I'm looking forward to hearing
Champions
about
League stories.
Bobby Robson.
Yeah, so Bobby Robson, Harry Redknapp,
Alan Shearer, some big names there.
Yeah. So tune in.
Well, thanks for listening again. See you later.
Beautiful.
Say bye. No.
No.
Cheerio, toodle pip.
Back wax.
I do wax my back. Well, no, I won't wax it.
Oh, it's called coming out now.
It's Joe, actually.
Your dad's
going to... Yeah, that's only because it's... when I'm sleeping outside, like, I can just, it's tickling me here.
What's going on?
It's too much.
I'm going mine out for a comb over.
Yeah, it's too much.
Spray tan?
I've never had a spray tan. I once had me chest wax for charity, but like, never again. Never again. You know when you see women on holiday and they've got the old spider's legs?
Yeah.
And you think... It's not nice, but after I had my chest wax, I'm like, no bother.
Yeah.
If you want to leave them grow, no problem at all.
I'm into cemetery stuff.
I'm not gonna judge you, love. I can guarantee you. you'll let them all grow.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.